The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
We're live in Nashville for what's really a big weekend here. The Vanderbilt Commodores have a shot at going 3-0 against a big-time team from the ACC, and we are happy to start the program off with the head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores, Clark Lee. Coach, the last time we talked to you, you were on a bus in Honolulu. The scenery is still pretty nice, but congratulations. You're off to a really good start, and I know fans here are very excited about this weekend.
Yeah, I'm happy for our team and our program and our community. We have a long way to go yet. This will be a good measure this weekend against a good Wake Forest team. But you play, you coach to be in these games, and you have a top 25 team coming into your house. It's exciting. So we're gonna have fun competing tomorrow.
And you can make too much, or you can't make too little out of this opportunity, but it really is. And you know, people look at the schedule and do math when that never works out, and they look ahead. But it has been a while since Vanderbilt had momentum, and I know that's an important part of the overall picture that you're trying to develop here.
It is. You know, we have to be careful internally just because we have a chance to grow as a team through the season, and we showed last year that we can do that. I think we have a more equipped team this season, but we're not going to be defined by any one result. And so tomorrow's an exposure. Tomorrow's a chance for us to, you know, learn a little bit more about where we are, but it's also about plotting the course forward. And we want this team to grow exponentially through the season, to get more powerful through the season, but we are enjoying the good start and enjoying the momentum, and we'd love nothing more than to build upon that.
And you're playing Wake, which is really a school that I don't want to compare one to the other, but it's a school that has some similarities to Vanderbilt. It's a strong academic school that has, at very rare moments in history, had great success in football. But they are enjoying it right now, and a lot of the credit is going to the quarterback, who was not supposed to play, and then this week we find out that he is going to play.
Yeah, you know, we want to play the best at their best, and so I'm happy that Sam's available and playing. I was actually at Wake Forest as an assistant coach for Dave Clawson when we recruited Sam, and so I got to know he and his family in that process, and I'm personally excited for him. But this is a good offense. It's a good offense. Warren Ruggiero has done an incredible job there, no matter who's been taking the snaps, and they're gonna challenge us tomorrow. Dave's done a great job in building the program over 9 years, and in a lot of ways, the way they've been able to sustain success, you know, we've got a similar formula that we're enacting here, and doing it in Nashville and doing it in the SEC, it gets us excited about what our future holds too.
We've talked to you about this a few times, and I know that it's on the eve of the game, and you're locked into the X's and O's and getting your team ready while folks like us drop into town and want to look at things that we could have asked you about and have asked you about at any other time. But I do think it is remarkable the patience that you have to show, because fans expect success overnight, and you haven't promised that, although you have promised this program will improve, and it has.
We have to keep disciplined focus, and I'm responsible for that. So I think as a fan, you have the luxury of kind of stepping in and out of it. I live it, and it's my vision, and I have to make sure I maintain a disciplined focus on that vision and carry that vision every day. And we can't skip steps. You know, our lack of success here in our recent past is a product of, you know, maybe trying to have patchwork answers to long-term problems. And for me, I'm just not interested in building a program that can win once but not over time. And part of that's because, you know, this is my home, Paul. You know, this is my legacy. It's a place that I came not to be here for a short moment, but to be here over the long haul. And I want to be familiar with the program and the way it looks and feels in 10 years as much as I am right now. And so that helps me keep channeled in my decisions and that disciplined focus and not to get too caught up in the moment.
And I think, Coach, that's really where people like me, not that matters to your preparation and your overall strategy, have to adjust, because we in the media are so used to coaches coming in places like this and others saying all the right things, where we know you have a lineage to the school. You grew up here. Your dad went here, and I do think that separates you. I think it gives you a lot more credibility when you talk about this place after somebody else just coming here from somewhere else, knowing that you have to say that. I know that's a long. That's not even a question, but it's a statement about where you are.
One thing that I've come in contact with is just, you know, people struggle sometimes to understand when I talk with passion about what we're capable of here, and I get that. I don't hold that against anybody, but again, it's my belief, both in the potential of this place and my belief in the process to get it where it's going to go. That's what matters. And you know, look, I look at Vanderbilt and I see home. I see a place that formed me. I see a campus that I walked on and a program that really helped to shape the values that have allowed me to have a success beyond football. And to me, what I want to do is position it to do the same thing for young people for many years to come. And you know, that's an incredible motivator for me. And independent of where we are, like, I just get excited about where we're going. And right now, it's the smallest signs of progress that gets you going. And, you know, we've experienced that here early in the season, both with the team, but also with the naming rights to the stadium and the new logo and the new turf and all the things that just show an attention to detail and a pride in everything we do here. And we want that to embody what this program becomes.
Coach, as you're building this, and there are a lot of people, we'll talk to the athletic director as well as the chancellor later on. I mean, when you start talking to people like the chancellor at Vanderbilt, you realize the breadth of this university. This is a gentleman who I think was born in Germany,
yeah,
who was a provost at the University of Chicago. I mean, I'm sure he has acclimated himself now to SEC football. I doubt we'll find out in a couple of hours that he knew a lot about it before he got here.
Yeah. You know, he it's funny because one of the things we connected on in the interview process, he spent a lot of time at USC, and obviously I spent time at Notre Dame, and so we had a little back and forth about that. But what the chancellor has is just an incredible vision for our university, and he understands the athletic department and under Candace Lee's leadership, and then obviously our football program is a front porch. And he knows that it's going to take investment. You know, this isn't just about sitting back and passively watching something grow. It's about actively investing in it to get it where it's supposed to be. And so he's actually come and spent time with me and Barton Simmons talking about the recruiting process. Really, he's a guy that loves to learn, and I've been so impressed with his passion for what we're doing, and excited, you know, to grow this program under his leadership.
When you look at facilities and improvement, and there's a lot of that going on here, I know you have to look at it through the prism of where you are. When you look around and see what's happening within your own league, do you have to just say, okay, listen, I can't be concerned about what this school over here is doing and that school. I just have to make sure my school has what is needed and necessary.
Well, what you're speaking on is just, you know, we have to have a focus on the things that we control right now.
Right.
And I can't get caught up in what is to happen in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. What I'm to do right now is to focus on the team that we're fielding and to make sure those guys have everything they need to develop within our program and to experience success as football players, and obviously success on our campus as well. What I'm excited about is Vandy United and the plans that are to come around the facility build that will put us, you know, in that upper echelon in the country. And to me, if I can, again, be disciplined now to build this team the right way as we get the facilities and their physical, visible reminders of the fact that football is important here and that we're building an elite program and an elite culture, then I think those are opportunities for us to level up as we build. And so I'm endlessly excited for that. Right now, you know, it's about taking care of what we have at the highest level. It's about taking ownership over it and giving it care and attention and building this team in spaces that will allow us to be a great team now, but an even better program as we unlock those levels with facility.
Coach, as you measure progress on the field, we'll finally get back to the field since there is a game tomorrow. What do you see different today in the first two games versus what you dealt with a year ago.
Yeah, well, we're bigger, faster, stronger. And I think those things are measured both by, you know, the numbers from the weight room, but also, you know, we carry GPS data for our players, and we can see that visibly. And so that, you know, being faster, being a longer team, those things help in the moment, making the plays and just being better equipped. But I think there's also been an attitude shift, and I don't think that that's complete yet. You know, we're still a work in progress that way, but I see an element of toughness and identity forming here that's going to unlock a style of football for us. And for me, if you have a team that's playing with total effort, with mental intensity and belief, you know, I'll show up to watch them on Saturday, and that's what we want to be here early. And so those signs of progress, that attitude shift, that level of belief, listen, we started out the season down 7 at Hawaii, and that was a chance for us to show that progress we've made in terms of the competitive mindset, and to flip that game around and finish 63-10 is a great statement. You know, we had leads against Elon at 21-0, 28-10, 35-10. We weren't yet competitively mature enough to close those games out. And when you leave yourself exposed, you know, teams are going to counterpunch. And so we've got a lot of growth yet to happen, but I think we're fielding a team that has a deeper belief and a better attitude down in, down out, and that's going to allow us to play a more competitive brand of football.
So as you look toward tomorrow, it's a different type of football team. It's a higher caliber. Not asking for the game plan, although if you want to share it, we'll hear it. What's the mindset at least going into this game?
Well, this is a really capable offense we're playing against. They averaged 41 points a game a year ago, which was fourth in the country. They won 11 games, you know, and so I think all three phases for us have to be tailored to defend this offense. And what that means is, you know, on our offensive side, we're not giving them extra possessions, so we have ball security. We're maintaining and sustaining drives, and finishing our drives with touchdowns. That's gonna be, we got to score some points. Defensively, you know, you can't lose patience in this game. You know, there's going to be drives that go first and 10, second, 7, third and 4 convert, and that's not what gets you beat against a team like Wake Forest. It's explosive touchdowns. So to maintain patience and to win in the red zone becomes a really important formula for us defensively. And obviously special teams is a bridge between. And that's how we'll set up. You know, it's going to be a fun challenge. And our guys are excited to compete. And, you know, hey, we're getting kicked off early. So it's a good way to start Saturday.
It sure is. It is the early game tomorrow morning. We'll lead into it. And, Coach, I know it's Friday afternoon. I'm sure there are better things to do than sit around talking to me.
I don't know
that
there are.
But we really always enjoy it. We so much have enjoyed getting to know you. And I will say, in full disclosure, when I heard what you had originally – I think I was in the room, but I wasn't paying attention. When you had said something about how you measure success, I thought maybe you had lost your mind. And then when we talked to you on the bus, and maybe it's just talking to somebody on out in Hawaii, I got it for the first time.
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem with all education. If you only think you only hear part of a story, you don't really understand it.
Well, I think there are plenty of people that think I'm losing my mind. But what I do is I believe in Vanderbilt. I believe in what we're building. I appreciate you guys being here on our campus. And let's have a great weekend here.
We can't wait. Thank you, Coach. All the best tomorrow, Coach Clark Lee. Beginning our program here on the one of the prettiest campuses around Friday afternoon in Nashville. We have a lot to do. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome all of you back here in Nashville. Pretty calm afternoon as we say hello to you again. Clark Lee started it off for us, and we're about to do a whip around to some of the top games in the country, and we will be everywhere this afternoon. There are so many important games on week two, some in the conference and some out of the conference, but by far the biggest game within the SEC is in Gainesville. We've been talking about this game all week, and we're talking about UK taking on Florida. We just had we just showed some video from our interview with Mark Stoops on Wednesday night. Let's say hello to Katie George, who will be on the sideline tomorrow for the primetime game in Gainesville. Katie, thank you very, very much. It has been a lot, very interesting week with much we don't know, and I'm struggling to say the words because maybe you know by now because you've spoken to the coaches and getting ready for this game. But do we know who's playing for Kentucky tomorrow night?
That's a fair question. I think all we know at this point is that Jordan Wright is going to play. I don't know exactly how many snaps he's going to get because they got to work him back in. But Jordan Wright has been officially cleared. Chris Rodriguez, I still think, is indefinite at this point. So we do not expect to see him play.
Yeah, and Katie, we just played some video of Coach Stoops. And sometimes you learn a lot when you talk to a coach. And sometimes you actually feel like you learn less. And no less about the situation. Can we talk about the Rodriguez situation? I mean, we know he's been in trouble. We know there has been uncertainty. We know that Mark Stoops said to us, and I'm sure to everyone else, that it's out of his hands. Do you have any better handle on what all that means?
Yeah, I wish we did. We don't, unfortunately. And, you know, Paul, you know, we stick to the game. We addressed it early on with Coach Stoops, and he just said, I don't have an answer for you. I wish I did, but it's not really in my hands, as you mentioned. And so, you know, our focus as a game crew is the pieces that he does have and who's going to be out on the field at the Swamp, because we think that we have an excellent game before us. Certainly you want the depth in the running back room that Chris Rodriguez brings. They feel good about Smoke. They feel good about Lavelle. But certainly he adds some depth, and he's a home run power back, and it hurts not having him. But you got to roll with the guys that you do have, and you got to make the most of it. They did not run the ball very well against Miami of Ohio. I thought it was interesting, you know, in the 10 or so years Mark Stoops has been in Lexington, time and time again, he's been chastised for not throwing the football because they become such a physical run team. And then he said last week after the Miami of Ohio game, reporters were saying, well, why weren't you running the football? And he was like, wow, you guys have been on me for 9 seasons about throwing the football and not doing it enough. He said, I can never make anybody happy. But luckily, they feel like they're a balanced team this year. Certainly Will Levis adds to that and the talent that he is. So no Chris Rodriguez. We don't know when he's going to be back, but they got to ride with the guys that they have. And hopefully it makes for a great game against Florida.
Well, it seems like he's making a few people happy in Lexington. Let's talk about the guy that's making everybody happy after 1 week, and that's Billy Napier and the Gators. So much conversation about Anthony Richardson. So many other players stood out in that nail-biting win over Utah. Take us into that locker room and that coaching office and tell us what you've learned all week.
Yeah, we had a great meeting earlier today with Billy Napier and his staff, and that was my first time getting to meet him, getting to be around him, and what a breath of fresh air. He absolutely is a player's coach. I think he's riding high after the Utah win, and you know, he was honest. He took over a locker room that was splintered 7-8 months ago. Didn't exactly know where they would be for game one. I mean, they have a really tough beginning of this schedule, but think about if they are able to get a win over Kentucky, just exactly how we'll be framing the conversation about Billy Napier and the work that he's been able to do over the last couple of months. You know, he focused off the field with these guys about family, about respect, about caring for one another, and then that translates into the weight room and the accountability and into the film room, and then ultimately how you're going to be able to be performing on the field. And so I think he kind of restarted by laying some foundation that these guys were able to buy into very quickly. I asked multiple players, Anthony Richardson being one, how soon into it, the tenure with Billy Napier, did you know this guy was going to be able to find success quickly? And Anthony Richardson said 3 weeks in. You know, Anthony's been on the phone with Napier time and time again. They're having 20, 30, 40-minute conversations just at night, talking about anything but football. And Napier said, you got to get to know the why. You got to get to know the player so that you know when you're on the sidelines what buttons you can push, how you can motivate, how you can bring out the best. And he said, what people fail to understand at this day and age is every player is motivated differently. So I have to do my due diligence and really build those relationships with the individuals. And he's done that over the last 8 months. And I think that it translated. Also, I think when you have a star quarterback and Anthony Richardson, which he's quickly going to become, if that didn't prove anything to us on Saturday, you know, when Billy Napier took over, Richardson was coming off of a knee surgery, so he didn't get to see him throw the football. He said, I saw him throw the first, second day of spring practice. He said, that was the best night of sleep that I got since taking the job because I knew this kid had the tools. Not only can he, of course, play make with his legs, but he can thread some needles like we saw on Saturday night. And he's inexperienced. I mean, it will be his third career start at Florida. I think when you look back to last season, he only completed 33 passes, played like 220 plays. So he was inexperienced, didn't have a great foundation, but you can see the glimpses of this kid is going to be really, really special. Just can he do it consistently each and every Saturday is the question.
Katie George live for us from Gainesville. She'll be on the call tomorrow night as Kentucky comes to the Swamp. Thanks so much, Katie. Always enjoy seeing you. We'll take a short break now. We are live in Nashville. We will be bouncing around the country throughout the day. In fact, we'll head to Pittsburgh in a few minutes and find out about another really big game.
Awesome, thank you.
Tennessee taking on Pittsburgh. Game that really slowed Tennessee down last year, but they hope to get revenge tomorrow afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. We are live in Nashville, about to head up to Pittsburgh, where really interesting game tomorrow. Pitt in Tennessee. Tennessee finally breaks in to the top 25. Pitt, higher rank, coming in after a big win at home against West Virginia. And Tennessee is the favorite here as we say hello to Molly McGrath on the call for this game. Molly, thank you. Always great to have you on. And this game last year went to Pittsburgh and Knoxville. The odds makers are looking at it in reverse. Good afternoon, and tell us about your week getting ready for this game.
Hi, Paul. Always so good to hear your voice. And yeah, you can't ask for anything better. A top 25 matchup between two really solid teams that you see some high expectations for this season. And you mentioned, you know, the fact that Pitt won that game in Knoxville last season. Tennessee players have not forgotten that. I think there's a little bit of revenge and some bad taste in their mouth. And also Tennessee wants to prove that they're a team that can truly contend in the SEC. And a lot of the players have their eyes on Atlanta and the SEC championship game. And as far as Pitt is concerned, they know very well the fact that they are underdogs in this game. Pat Narduzzi mentioned it to us in our meetings with him earlier today. He said he's going to make that an emphasis in his pregame speech with his players. And he said, you know, what do we have to do to get a little respect? We beat them last year. This is our home turf. We're the higher ranked team, and they're the favorites in this game. So both of these teams are coming into this one with a little bit of an edge.
And I want to start with something I'm sure you spent a lot of time on and will continue to during the broadcast, the quarterbacks, both transfers from big-name schools. We all know the Hendon-Hooker story. Slovis off to a good start. Take us inside that part of the matchup.
Yeah, so Hendon-Hooker, you know, transferred from Virginia Tech, so he's actually very familiar with Pitt and the ACC, so he thinks that that's going to be an advantage for him in this game, the fact that this is now his fourth time facing Pitt. So there's some familiarity there. He's gone up against a lot of these guys in their defensive line the past 4 years. But this team really believes in Hendon-Hooker, and you look at just his progression from last season to now, he's a different player. He has all the confidence in the world. He collaborates with his coaches on which plays to call, and it's kind of second nature to him, so they can go at that fast-paced tempo that Coach Heupel wants them to go at. So I think big things are expected of Hendon-Hooker. This team really believes in him. The receivers really like him. They have extra talent with guys like Brew McCoy coming in, a transfer from USC. So it's going to be a high-powered, exciting offense. And we saw that a little bit in last year's game, just back and forth. But the biggest difference, obviously, for Pitt is that they don't have Kenny Pickett. And Kenny Pickett in that game last season was really a star and helped them get that win. But now they're going to look to Keaton Slovis, the transfer from Southern California, coming in. He loves the culture at Pitt. He loves the tough guy mentality that they're embodying. You know, he had a little bit of some miscommunication with some of his receivers in last week's game against West Virginia. So that's something that they're working on, and they're still working on their chemistry and getting this new scheme down under their new offensive coordinator, Frank Cignetti. But these are two star quarterbacks that have the potential to win games for their team. So I'm really interested to see which one's going to come out on top.
Molly, I know you're focused on tomorrow, and we all are, but I would be remiss if I didn't go back a week. We talked to you a week ago as you were getting ready for the Georgia game in Atlanta, and I'm just curious what it was like to watch that thing unveil Saturday afternoon, because, I mean, we knew Georgia was good, but take us through those 3.5 hours, and what were your impressions?
It was amazing, Paul. Usually in a lopsided game, broadcasters walk away and say, oh, you know, that was such a bear of a game and such a blowout. But I actually walked away from that game invigorated because Georgia was so exciting to watch. Stetson Bennett showed that he was the MVP of the national championship game. And he proved that, you know, people are wondering, you know, Stetson Bennett, the former walk-on, and talking about his story and his career and wondering if he's the guy to get them back there. I think that kind of discussion about Stetson Bennett needs to stop. He's proved that he is a champion. He's proved that he's only getting better within this offense. He hit a career high in passing yards in that game. He only had 6 incompletions. Watching him was a thing of beauty last week. Granted, Oregon's defense still has to get themselves together. They struggled in tackling, and Dan Lanning is going to kind of fix things there and right the ship, and I think that Oregon will eventually be good, but they look so bad because Georgia is that good. And their defense didn't miss a step either. They had 15 players total go to the NFL draft, and it's like this team didn't miss a step. They just filled in with new guys, and their defense kept them out of the end zone. 2 interceptions. They're pressuring Bo Nix all day. It was truly a joy to watch Georgia in that game, and I truly think that they're a team that could get back to the national championship game.
Well said. Molly, it's always great. I appreciate you being on. We love talking to you every week when we can find you and you're in our radar. So be well. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We will be watching, and I can't wait to talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Paul. Have a great weekend.
More to come. Busy afternoon as we continue here in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We have a lot going on today, and we have Deuce in the next hour. He's part of the call here in Nashville for Wake and Vanderbilt. Holly Rowe, big game out Northern California, Southern Cal and Stanford. Is the Trojans for real? Are the Trojans for real? Jordan will join us here in about 30 minutes. The AD, we've had the head coach. Now we have the AD, Kansas Story Lee, Brock Osweiler, out in College Station. And remember, we talked to Dan Orlowski last week. He was down in Gainesville. He's made it out to Fayetteville. Dan's getting a lot of sampling of the South in the early part of the season. Dan, thanks for the time. Let's talk about this Arkansas game. You got two really good quarterbacks, different styles, Spencer Rattler, and, of course, KJ, and give us your read on that battle, first of all. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, bud. Good to see you again. I'm certainly getting my fair share of connecting flights from the Connecticut, New York area down to the Southeast. First of all, I love this game because I love both programs. I'm huge fans of both coaches, both Shane Beamer and then Pittman. I'll start with Spencer. Spencer, when it comes to just throwing the football, he could throw the football with any kid in America. Just watch the ball come out of his hand. You're like, that's what all the, I guess, the hype is about when he was coming out of school and then Oklahoma. But he could just flat out throw. He had a throw last week when he was running to his right. I put it on Twitter, and he's throwing the ball up over a defender, and it's flat out perfect. You're like, there's just not a lot of people, you know, that are playing college football that could do that. They did not protect him last week, and if they don't figure out ways to protect him better, not only tomorrow but also moving forward, I don't care how good you are, and I don't care how good you throw it, it's not going to matter. So they got to do a better job, South Carolina, offensively with that. KJ Jefferson is a really cool story just because you've watched him come in. He's remade his body. He's quicker as a player. He's the perfect college quarterback when it comes to the desire for the athletic guy in this Kendall Briles offense. And it's really interesting when you watch him because as just a pure talent, he's probably not going to wow anybody. But when you watch the tape and you put him in those game situations and you got to go, hey, it's 3rd and 6. We need you to go make a play. He finds a way because he's so confident in his natural ability. So really excited to watch them both play tomorrow.
You mentioned the two coaches, and I really, really struck by something you said, Dan, because they are two of the most likable coaches. And that's interpretive, but I mean they're also liked by their players. You understand that better than a lot of us do. Describe these coaches and what forget the X's and O's, just what their personality brings to the program.
With Coach Pittman, you can feel it when you're around him. He's unashamed of who he is. He's incredibly comfortable in his own skin. He kind of relishes the fact that he even says it like, hey, look at all these other programs. Those coaches don't look like me. And he really embraces that. And when you're a player and your coach embraces that, you start to embrace it of your own self, you know, and you start to take on that personality. And when you're unashamed of who you are, you gain more confidence in that person. You know, you get it when it comes to yourself, you're so much more comfortable and confident in who you are. And he's unapologetic about that, and the program has become that. I even asked him today. We just got done talking to him. I said, third year here, is this what you envisioned? And he started laughing. He's like, nah, you know. And he's 6-1 in his last 7 games, and they've beaten a bunch of top 25 teams. And he even said, when I see Arkansas go across the ticker tape on ESPN, I like seeing the number in front of it, and I want that number to get smaller and smaller. So it's just that really endearing quality. With Shane Beamer in South Carolina, the name carries weight. That's a big deal. But I like the fact that he's really done a good job of impressing on that program the expectation level, the standard. And I said, okay, every coach says culture. And he said something this week to me that has to have tremendous impact on his team. He said, I got to make tough decisions, but I can't get tired of making tough decisions. And he said, I want all my kids to understand, we can't be around or sit around on a Tuesday waiting for someone to come clean up my locker, because I'm going to be that same kid on Saturday waiting for somebody else to come make a play. And that, again, power and quality. I'm sure you saw the viral video of him taking his team through the campus walk this year and up the stadium steps. And I thought that was a brilliant illustration of, you know, making sure his kids understand how fortunate they are that they get to play the game that they get to at that institution. And it really kind of is one of those things that hits home, kind of the daily work that it's necessary to go be a good program.
Dan, if I could, in the remaining two or three minutes, go back last week, because you did the game in Florida, and it was such an amazing game, and so many people, they should have already known about Anthony Richardson, but tell us your impressions of Anthony Richardson after that game.
I honestly believe if Anthony Richardson showed up in Gainesville today and said, you know what, I'm done playing college football, he's a top 10 lock pick in the NFL draft. He's that impressive as physical talent. And then you watch the game last week, and the thing that I appreciated the most was how in control of the moment he was. That was a big deal. Night game, local kid, top 10 program, and he played so clean, both in the decision-making with the ball, but also in the decision-making in the run game. He never looked overwhelmed. He never put the ball in harm's way. He was really accurate. Now, did he miss a couple reads here and there? Absolutely. But you watched him be so in the moment and confident and in control, and started to dictate to the defense of Utah. Hey, there's nothing you're going to do against me that's going to make me hurt our football team. I'm a huge fan of the young man as a talent, and Florida's in a very good situation with him as their starting quarterback.
And I realize you didn't see him last week in person, but tomorrow night Will Levis shows up at the Swamp. You've seen him before, though. What are your thoughts on him? Because a lot of people have him in similar stead to Anthony Richardson. What about you?
He's not as physically gifted as Anthony, just raw talent. But two things that are obvious when you watch. So I had him a little bit last year. I know his story because he's from Connecticut, where I'm from and where I live. Absolute cannon of an arm. And I'm talking one of those arms that the ball cuts through air. You know, I'm not talking I could throw it 75 yards downfield, but it cuts through when the ball comes out of my hands because it spins so much. Powerful. And he will stand in the pocket, and no matter what is going around him, he will take whatever hit is coming his way and deliver the football. That's a really hard trait to coach. He's been coached very well, specifically when it comes to pro-style and NFL-style offenses, the Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, Gary Kubiak system. He's absolutely going to have his thrown around as a first-round pick.
Dan, thank you. We always enjoy these Friday conversations and a look around the SEC. Dan Orlowski joining us from Arkansas this week. Last week, of course, in Gainesville. We are in Nashville. And we have a long way to go. We'll talk to the chancellor at Vanderbilt University a little bit later on. We had the president of Mississippi State last night, so we're doing okay. We have a lot more to do. We'll work your phone calls in throughout the program. We are back. Three more hours to go on a Friday in Music City.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.